Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Amen. Y'all love the Lord tonight? Amen. How many thankful to be born again? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we could be lost on the way to a devil's hell. Amen. The Bible teaches that, you know, hell wasn't made for man. You know, but it's made for them fallen spirits. And when we allow them fallen spirits to come live and dwell and take our mind and our thoughts, and they fulfill their will within our bodies, then we become one with that spirit. More predestined into damnation that way. And you know, the only way into eternal life isn't by our works, it's by His. And the only way that we'll make it in is by being predestined in Him. If you're going to go to hell, because hell wasn't made for you, it's going to be because you're predestined in the devil. Amen. But when you're predestined in Christ, then you have eternal life. Amen. So, you know, it's whoever you yield your members to is what the Bible says. You know, you can say, I'm a Christian, but who are you yielding your members to? Come believing and hungering. The Bible promises that you will be filled. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of God. We thank you, Lord God, that the word is yea and amen. And that the word be true and every man be a liar according to what is written. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the word. Father, we ask you, Lord, to utilize this vessel tonight, Father. You promise in your word that it's no longer the man speaking, but Christ speaking through him. And Father, as we yield to you tonight, Father, to allow your will, your words, your expressions to go forth through this vessel. Father, as John the Baptist said, he asked that he could decrease and that you could increase. And Father, we ask the very same thing. Not being man speaking, but Christ through the vessel. We love you, Lord, with a great expectation of you tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Yeah, I got many things in my heart, and I got a phone call from Brother Tony today. He got moved from Ware. That's where Brother Jeff was at. Got moved out of Ware State Prison and moved over to Alburus. And the deputy warden came in when they got moved in there, and he said, look, if you're here very long, it's your fault. He said, we've redesigned this place, and we're moving the troublemakers out of here. And he said, we got some here, and they're going to be weeded out and moved out. And he said, but this place, this prison is getting dedicated to get people home and to TC's transition center. So let's trust the Lord that that'll continue on. It's been a prayer and a struggle. You know, the thing is, saints of God, we have to realize that sometimes men do make mistakes. We have prisons and jails for those and for lawbreakers. And many men most definitely need to be there, and some need to stay. But there are some that are rehabilitated, and they've been reconciled, amen. And they've received the correction, and they've shown the fruit met under repentance, as the Bible would say, meet under repentance. It would be hard to have a job in there to discern which ones have really received the correction and could go. Like the Bible said, some come out and they go like a dog, you know, back to the vomit, or a pig back to the mire. And we're accustomed to those things. We witness it and we see it. You know, and it's a very complicated job to think about the Pardon and Paroles Board. And the other thing to think about, you're dealing with men that some of them are pretty smooth. They're pretty smooth-tongued. They're cons. A lot of them are in there because they've conned people. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we trust and we pray and we believe. And men do get saved. They do get set free. They do get a new spirit. Amen. As the Bible says, a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible also teaches that a broken, contrite spirit is something that God could use. And some men, there's a good fertile soil in the prison system, because some of these men are really broken and sorrowful. I spent 2 days in a courtroom watching a judge have to make many decisions that affects families and lives. I know I said this. It's not my first time being in a courtroom. But these men have been put into a place of authority. They've been, many of them, been voted in by the land or the people of the land. And they've got these positions, and they're taking authority over lives. You stand before them, they have the authority to incarcerate you, to take your freedom away, or to set you free. They have that authority. They have that power. Amen. Sometimes they're making decisions where they have the authority to say you are going to live or you're going to die. Brother Ed over here, his brother was sentenced to death for killing a police officer. He's still being held. They changed the laws in North Carolina. He's sitting over in a prison with life. No possibility of parole. They're holding him there until the day they take his life. A judge had to make that decision. You see, sometimes you could look at a man and you think, well, you unworthy, no good, whatever your expressions or adjectives are. But then yet you got to remember something. And many times we don't think about this. Brother Ed's brother, he killed a police officer. You know, and you think, you know, here's a police officer had two children and a wife. When he made that decision, he didn't just take the man's life. He took a daddy away from two children, took a husband away from a wife. Sad thing. But when the judge made a decision, he also took a daddy away. His brother had children and a wife. So you see the complications that arise in judgment. But it still has to be done. Sometimes it's not the judge making the judgment. The people made the decision, and the judge has to follow the law. And he's got to say, well, according to the laws of North Carolina or the federal laws of United States of America, you have violated this, and this is what's got to take place. And it's called justice. And we don't kick against that. And when we ask God to move in the affairs of humanity and mankind, we ask him to move within righteous judgment. We've seen some unrighteous judgment. I had a friend that was murdered, had drug problems. The judge looked at it as these other guys, almost like ethnic cleansing. He looked at the two young men that shot him and took this 21-year-old boy's life over a $150 dope deal. The two boys that shot him were back in the streets in 4 years. We got a friend in prison right now over robbing people, which he needed to go to prison for stealing and robbing people, but it was for, I guess, about $55,000. It's a lot of money. It's almost like stealing a brand new Cadillac today in today's world. This man has done a little over 10 years now. Here's one that walks out of a prison in 4 years for murder, and here's another one doing 10 years. You know, $55,000, a lot of money. He needs to go to jail. Needs to spend some time. I'm saying there needs to be justice and judgment. But again, as I watch the judge making decisions and doing things, when he takes a young man and says, you're going to jail for 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, the man's wrong. The man needs to. But look at the judgment. It goes to the daughter, or the wife, I mean. Here's a woman now that's going to be the sole provider. The judgment that goes to his family, to moms and dads, that got to take up the slack because of his foolishness and ignorance that got him there. Then moms and dad are taking care of grandchildren and doing different things. See, it doesn't stop there. It's hardships that go on and on. And you say, what are you speaking about, Brother Rom? I'm speaking about judgment. The Bible said judgment begins at the house of God. That's Bible. That's what the scriptures teach us. Many churches teach us, well, you can't judge. That's not what the Bible teaches us. The Bible said, judge not lest you be judged in the same light or the same measure. So if Brother Ed is judging me for doing something, he's doing the same thing. He just told the Lord, he said, hey, if I could see that it's wrong for Brother Rob to do that, I'm saying it's wrong for me to do that. And he just brought judgment to himself. That's what the Bible's teaching. It's not teaching us not to judge. It's teaching us how to judge. Amen. The Bible said, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. But again, to the scripture I just quoted, we could look it up. I could have maybe Chuck put it on the board there, but it said judgment begins in the house of God. Now, if judgment begins in the house of God, now you've heard me do some teaching here as of late. We see a lot of terrible things taking place in America. We would like to blame it on Obama. You know, hey, we're white guys, let's blame it on the black man. I'm just talking ignorant, I know. That's not my thoughts, my theology, my ideology, by no means. But there are a lot of white racist people that they would like to blame it on him. Be easy, wouldn't it? But that's not where the problem began at. That's not why America's in trouble. We know it was in trouble before he ever stepped foot in office. He hasn't helped things, I will say that, by no means. But he's not the problem. He is a manifestation of the problem. Amen? If I was going to get into allegories with you and go into some things, we could talk about allegorically what he represents. If I said that he represented Satan climbing up into the upper lintels, that's an allegory. And he most definitely does. The Bible says in this end time, that's what we expect, Satan to climb all the way up into the upper lintels. And when a man gets into the highest office of America, there's a revelation there. Again, in Romans, the first chapter, 20th verse, it said, the unseen things of the invisible world are revealed to us, and they appear by the things which we see. We know that the Bible teaches that the Father is invisible and no man is seen. So we talk about heaven and the Spirit, the third heaven, not the second or the first. There is a third heaven. The Bible teaches us that. The third heaven's invisible to you as a man. Your eyes cannot see it. That's why Jesus said to you when he was standing before you, he said, though you have eyes, you do not see. Because he knew they could not see into this dimension of the third heaven. The Bible said we're encamped around about by a great cloud of witnesses. Say, what does that mean? There's spirits all around, seeking in the dry places, the Bible says, for a place of inhabitation. What does that mean, preacher? The thing is, let me say some things here, and we're going to go into some word. And we're speaking word already. We're quoting scriptures already. If I never took and read in the Bible, there's Bible coming forth. The Bible said we're written epistles read and known of all men. The things that we're reading in here came forth from anointed, Holy Ghost-filled men. The Bible said God breathed, inspired by Holy Ghost men. I'm a Holy Ghost-filled man, and I could speak, and I've been quoting the word that we have for a guideline. I could say I'm under the anointing of God, and I could speak something contrary to that word, and it's no longer the word of God. If I speak by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, it'll be confirming that word, and that word will be confirming in me. You see, we don't have some authority to alter or change the scriptures. The Catholic Church does, though, but we don't. Amen? Well, you didn't have to say that. Well, I did. And it just exposes the error and the fallacy of Catholicism. It's cursed religion. The Bible said that. It teaches that. It said if they preach any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. And I could take you into Catholic doctrine and show you where they trampled all over the Word of God so many times. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and man. He is the way, the truth, the life. He's the door. There's no other way to enter in. There's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved except Jesus Christ. But the Catholics tell you could pray to St. Christopher for travel mercies. They tell you that you could pray to St. Jude for this and over to this one for that. There's only one mediator. The only way we can have our prayers heard in heaven is through Jesus Christ. You understand that? So it makes their doctrines wrong. And when the Bible said if they preach any other doctrine, let them be accursed. It's a cursed church. It used to be the elect, and they did, but they've turned it into doctrines of men and left the doctrines of God. Amen? So it was my purpose tonight to slander the Catholic Church. No, it's to bring the Word of God. Amen? So again, as I quoted Romans 1:20, and I said that these unseen things are revealed, so we see a judge. What's he showing? We see a judge making decisions, and many times they're difficult. It's like a man that was going to preach a man's funeral. Part of the family come out and said, you better not put Uncle such and such in hell. And the preacher's like, okay. Another part of the family said, you better not put him in heaven. You know, he was a drunk and a no good, thus on us. He said, you better not. So the preacher done the wise thing. He said at the funeral, he goes, I'm going to bring him down to the river. He said, y'all put him on whatever side you want. Amen. So sometimes we're going to make a presentation of the word. You receive it, need it, and it'll be good. Or you could reject it, but be careful. Amen. The word of God's like an antidote. It takes care of sickness and disease, things that kill you and destroy you. You need to eat it. The Bible says it might be sweet to the mouth, but bitter to the belly. Amen. You ever take medicine? It's kind of that way too sometimes. It don't taste good and you don't like nothing about it, but it'll bring some healing to your body. The Word of God's that way. Sometimes it's a little hard to eat. Sometimes it don't exactly what we want. Anybody been to the doctor and he done what to make you better? What you, that feels good, doc. Nobody ever said that when they put that needle in your hind end, huh? Oh, that feels good. No. Or they give you that medicine. It never does taste good. Yeah. They do so much of it, it's like, you know, hey, this don't feel right. Help me out here a little bit, doc. But you know, a preacher represents the physician. And sometimes he's doing things people don't like. Says things that they don't like. Gets people upset. Seen people come out of the emergency or out of the operating room. Boy, they don't like that doctor. Boy, they're in pain, this and that. But as soon as that problem that was perplexing them fades off away because of the results of the physician, then all of a sudden it ain't so bad. Amen. They spoke of the Apostle Paul. When he spoke to the people, he said, there was a time you would have plucked your eyes out for me. But he said, now you want to kill me for bringing the truth to you. Amen. 1 Peter, it says, for the time has come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be for them that obey not the gospel of God? Judgment. Now I said this, I said that looking to the politics of America isn't showing the problem of America. The problem of America is the church has failed, first and utmost. The preachers have turned in, as the Bible says, this is New Testament doctrine. The Bible said that they're hirelings. It's a job. Many pastors, they take a job, you know, hey, I went to Bible college. You know, you might go to college and learn to be an airplane mechanic, or you might learn to whatever, a doctor, a nurse, whatever, and you go get a job. Well, they're doing the same thing. People are saying, hey, you know, my uncle, you know, Uncle Festus was a pastor. Man, I'm going to be one to go to college. That doesn't qualify you. College does not qualify you to be a pastor. But in the churches of America, it does. I've been involved with churches for many, many years, and I've gone to church services, and I saw I'm going to be putting in a new minister. I've been involved in those things and watched it. New deacons, new music leaders and things, and some very large churches. My wife and I sat in a church in California, knew the pastor and things, and they were putting in a new song leader. And I've heard for 20 minutes of all of the degrees and years of college and all of the a master's degree and this kind of music and this and that. And I mean, the guy was, man, they went on and on and on. And boy, the people were praising him. But never did I see him go to the scriptures to use the qualifications of the Bible. The Bible says that a deacon, a deacon is a servant. He doesn't command the church. They got that messed up in America too. The deacons are voting in preachers, voting them in and out. That's ungodly and it's not biblical. A deacon is a servant to the minister. But these deacons, the Bible said that they must be filled with the Holy Ghost. It's hard to find a preacher filled with the Holy Ghost, let alone a deacon. I'm sorry, man. I'm glad we could laugh about that a little bit. We should be crying about it, honestly. We're in a dark time, brethren. The Bible said, little flock, small flock, few be there that find it, and the righteous scarcely make it. Where's the fear of God in America? I mean, come on. You know, let's remove Christianity for a minute. Let's just talk morality a moment. Just talk simple morals. I can't imagine in the 60s now, I cannot imagine somebody brave enough to burn an American flag in the streets of America. How about right after World War II? I believe there was over 100 million people killed, I think. I was reading the statistics. I didn't realize there were so many millions of people. Do you know that there was that 65% of the people killed in World War II were civilians? It wasn't even people fighting. They were carpet bombing England, if you remember, and Germany and all these places. But I think it was about 115 million people maybe killed. It might have been more than that. Bunches of people. That's a bunch of folks. I tell you, it's sad to think about that. But then you think about all the blood that soiled this earth for that flag. Now, I'm not getting patriotic here, brother. I'm just talking decency and morals and common sense. And then yet today we got people that are teaching our children in the colleges that are defying the flag. The national anthem comes on TV and they're not even going to stand in respect. And they're going to, if they're in the field stand, they're going to squat down to show disrespect. I think we're crazy myself to allow that kind of foolishness. You say, well, they got the rights. They do. That's the name of the Laodicean church. If you read in the Bible about the seven churches, and it's the Laodicean church, the interpretation that is people's rights. And this is what is destroying America. We give the people the rights to disgrace our country, to disgrace our forefathers, to disgrace our land, our constitution. We got to have laws, brothers and sisters, to keep order in the land. But they're removing all that. You say, well, I didn't come to church for a political speech. This isn't a political speech. I'm showing you that the political politics are a result of the church failing. It was God-fearing man that wrote the Constitution, and there was other heathens in there involved, I know, but it was still by the majority of men that prayed and kept the counsel of God and the doctrine of the Word. Let me tell you something. If a man would utilize the doctrine in the Word and not even profess Christianity, but use it, it works. It teaches things that work and bring forth labor and fruit. The Bible said if you want friends, show yourself friendly. Well, you could be a heathen and show yourself friendly and you'll make friends. Hey, jerk, you're ugly. Hey, I would like to be your friend. That's not showing yourself friendly, is it? Come on now. So what are you speaking about, preacher? I'm talking about judgment. We have to have judgment. We have to have. The Bible said it begins in the church. But then yet the church is teaching that we can't judge. But the Bible says the least in the church, the very least of you should judge any of the matters. It said, don't take your judgment to the council of this world. It said the least of you in the church should be able to judge any of the matters. And you know what else it says? It says that the saints of God are going to judge the world. I was in a lumber yard not many weeks back or months. I don't know, time gets away. Man standing had a big old tattoo on his arm, said, only God could judge me. And I said, what you put that line there for? Because that's not the truth. It isn't the truth. Another scripture I'll quote to you, talking about judgment. It said that some men's sins go before and some after. You say, what does that mean? Well, if you would go into the scriptures and you could read, and I quote this oftentimes, but the Bible says, you know, you should make notes if you want to challenge me. I mean, the thing is, I got word coming out of my mouth, and you could write it down and say, preach, I ain't there. The Bereans went and studied the word to see if the preachers were correct and right. I like people to say, hey, man, I'm digging in the word. I've had many people come to me after I preached in churches in other states, and they say, man, I didn't like what you said. I went to prove you wrong. And I went to prove you wrong in the word, I kept finding you was right. And they made conversions. They got delivered and set free. Amen. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. I'm not called to please people. I'm called to convert people. Perfect people. I could turn you over into the scriptures. And it said that the fivefold ministry, the evangelist, the pastor, the prophet, the apostle, the teacher, were sent for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of the saints, for they could be used for the service of God. That's why. For you could be perfected to be utilized for the glory of God and the work of God. Everything else is vanity and vain. Yes, we have to work, we got to make livings, we got to provide for our families. But the thing is that is something that's expected of us, but there's something that's required of us. And it's to serve God with all of our heart, with all of our might, with all of our soul. We got to serve God. And let me tell you something. I've tried a lot of things in life. And I've been in rebellion with God. And I've been a servant of God. And I've seen the fruit of both worlds. Amen? Now the Bible talks about the chastening of God. The chastening of the Lord. The Bible teaches us very clearly, if you're not chastened, then the Bible says you're a bastard child, an illegitimate, you don't know your father. But if you're born of God and you have the Spirit in you, cries, Abba, Father, He chastened them that He loves, is what the Bible said. You say, well, how does He do that? I could probably call a whole bunch of you up here and tell you real quick. Hey, I know how He does it. The Bible said on the day of adversity, a man needs to consider his ways. So the thing is yes, God chastens His children. And we have to be prepared for chastening. We have to be ready and equipped. Fathers discipline their children. parents, I should say, because it's required of them by the scriptures and by the word. Now, laying just a little bit of a foundation, I want you to turn with me over to 2 Peter. I wrote down a couple scriptures that I want to read this evening. 2 Peter, 1st chapter, the 20th verse says, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation." Many times people say, "Well, I'm going to read the Bible and I'm going to tell you what I think it says." Another one says, "I'm going to tell you what I think it says." Another one over here, and they got their own private interpretation of what they think. Brethren, we don't need the private interpretation. We need to do what the Bible said. The Bible said line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. We got to take all the word in. Many times we take one scripture out of the Bible and we'll read it and we'll build a church around it, a denomination around it, a people around it, and we set something up, but we got to go to the rest of the word. Amen? It's all got to rightly fit together by the mind of revelation, by the mind of Jesus Christ. We got to take all of the word in. Amen. Amen? So many times people, the devil himself, will quote the Bible verbatim, but he'll take it out of context of what's really being said. So again, it's not for private interpretation. It takes line upon line. Amen? 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." You see, brother, the word of God is a purpose and a reason for it, that we have to take it. Give me just a second here. I'm going to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want to go to about verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begun at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now, if judgment is coming to God's people, how much more so to the ungodly," is what it's saying here. "Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator." The Bible also says, brothers, that when Jesus, when you look at him there hanging on the cross, and the Father speaks, and he said, "If this is what I do to my only begotten Son, how much more so am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner?" We're still talking about judgment, brethren. We're talking about judgment beginning in the house of the Lord. I made a statement a moment ago about sin and about some men's sins going before and some after. There's people going through this world that are sinning every day. Many of the preachers and the preachers in the churches are teaching the people. They say, "You're a sinner and you sin every day." That's a lie from hell. "I was born as a sinner." The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. "I was born and shapen in iniquity and sin," because all have sinned. But brethren, when I become born again, born of God, you understand that? My sin was taken away, because this is what the Bible says. "Ye that sin are of the devil." Now if a preacher teaches you that you are a sinner and sin every day, he's teaching that you are of the devil. I'm not going to teach the children of God that are of the devil. I'm not of the devil. I'm of my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible said that I'm bone and bone and flesh of the flesh of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? I was born as a sinner. Okay? It was appointed unto me death, damnation, destruction. with all men. But the Bible said that you must be born again. And when you're born again, the Bible said you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away and all things become new. What passed away, brethren? That old life of Brother Rob Coons. That old life of Brother Larry Thomas. That old life of Brother Edward Luffman. That old man has passed away. The Bible goes on to say that you are crucified with Christ. And the life that you now live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. So the thing is, brethren, you say, well, you can't stand before people and say that you cannot sin. I could stand before people and tell you what the Bible says. The Bible said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God, and ye that are born of God cannot sin. It didn't say you might, because the Bible goes on to teach that the fulfillment of sin is death. The sting of sin is death. So if you sin, you're of your father, the devil, and you're appointed to go with the devil into a devil's hell. So the Bible teaches that we got to change our profession. I'm a born again Christian. I've been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He took my sins and put them as far as the east is from the west. Amen. He washed me with his blood. Was his blood not good enough to take your sins away, brother? Come on. Was Jesus' blood not good enough for you? If he said it's finished and he took your sins away, then you need to stand and testify and praise him and say, thank you, Jesus, for washing my sins away and putting them away. Amen. Amen. And then he gave you a new spirit, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. So you have to believe that. You have to believe that. Now the thing is if you don't believe that, then you are a sinner and your sins will go, what will take place is you're going to stand before the Lord on judgment day. And he's going to say, I never knew ye that work iniquity. They're going to argue with him on that day. But Lord Jesus, man, I was a preacher. I could show you that in the scriptures. I prophesied in your name. I cast out devils in your name. Is that the work of the ministry? This is what they said to Jesus, and he replied to him. He said, I never. He didn't say, I once knew you, or you were born again and you backslid. He didn't say that. He said, I never knew ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. And it said they were taken and dragged into a devil's hell, into the eternal lake of fire. They prophesied. They worked miracles. They cast out devils. He said, I never knew you. You see, their sins didn't go before. Their sins went after. I'm telling you what that scripture means. The ones that go before now are the ones that come to the house of God. They subject themselves to the counsel of God. They can subject themselves to the ministry of God. They subject themselves to the preachers of God. And they submit themselves to the counsel. And they receive the judgment on this side. They receive the reproof, the rebuke, the exhortations. They submit to it and say, here I am, Lord God, help me. They're repentant. They're broken before the Lord. Those are the ones that sins go before. Amen. And are taken away by the works of Christ at Calvary. But if you've received it, then it'll come to a manifestation. You see, a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. People say, well, I don't judge, but I judge fruit. Well, that's okay. The Bible does say, you know, that ye that are spiritual, this is what the Bible said, ye that are spiritual judge all things. This is what I teach the mothers in this church and the fathers. If they're under a doctrine that they can't judge, I said, you better start judging. Some little sorry sucker come over to take your little girl on a date, you better be doing some real quick judging. You better be looking that little fella in the eye. And you better be talking to that little guy real good and say, you know, you're taking my young daughter here out and I expect her to be back in 7 minutes. If you're lucky, I might let you have 8. But you need to be judging them. Bible said two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. How can I know I could walk with you unless I judge you? Come on now. There's more Bible for judgment, brother, than there is for no judgment. But we always take things over to the wrong aspect. And the preachers preach that you can't judge because they're a bunch of sorry reprobates and they don't want to be judged by the saints of God. Because the thing is the Bible teaches if they're not walking according to the doctrine that the elders in the church bring them before the council and they need to be removed. So they're going to teach you that you can't judge. Well, don't be looking at me. Don't you be judging me. They judge that for them to keep their job. This isn't a job, it's a calling. And it's got some very rigid guidelines to fulfill. And it's got qualifications that must be fulfilled. It's got obligations that must be done. Amen? It's not just some seeker-friendly little thing and make everybody happy. Keep the air conditioner going and the heat going and everything's fine. Don't offend, you know, Uncle Festus or Aunt Loose Lips. You know, don't upset them. Amen. Don't work that way. That's not what the church is about. The Bible said the minister's rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Jesus continually, brethren, when he spoke, was offensive. Do you know that? He was an offensive man. Oh, you can't say that because the Bible said if you offend a little one, that you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. Exactly what it said, a little one. But when you've been supposed to be a Christian for many years and you're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, supposed to be led by the Spirit, you're going to be offended by the Word of God. Amen? You don't want to offend a little baby that's just trying to come in and you offend him with your self-righteousness and your overconfidence and you put more on than could bear. That's what he's talking about. Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. He offended people every time he spoke. That's why they were taking up rocks to throw at him. They come for healing and he called them whores, dogs. Oh, he's so smooth and so soft-spoken. Calls them dogs, swines. Come on now. We're talking about our God. Come on. But we got him as this little, you know, we read the scriptures about he wiped the spittle out of his face. Yes, and we do the same. But let me tell you something. We got to understand both sides of them. A child that only understands daddy of coming home and bringing him ice cream and candy bars and, you know, and all these kind of things, he really doesn't have an understanding of a real daddy. All daddies want that. They want to be friends with their children and give those things. But sometimes dads have to offer correction when they love their children. Our Heavenly Father corrects us. Amen? That's the duty of a mother, duty of a father. So the Bible again speaking about judgment beginning in the house of God and some men's sins going before and some after. The Bible talks about the chastening of the Lord and it talks about it's grievous for the moment, but it yields forth this righteous fruit. Amen? Everything that you see according to understanding, the earth out here has got to be plowed and got to be broken up, the hardness. It's got to be cultivated. The soil's got to be conditioned to yield forth a fruit or a crop. The Bible talks about a man's heart. Talks about seed sown on stony ground. She's talking about, you know, he's not teaching them how to be farmers. He's teaching preachers how to preach the gospel. And you're going to understand when a man is so hard-hearted and stuff, it's that old stony ground. And it's going to, maybe that seed will spring up for a moment. You understand? But then the sun is going to, the things of this world going to scorch it out. The fowl of the air will come when it's on the stony ground or the rocky ground. The fowl of the air is going to come and just pluck it away. Those are speaking about men's hearts. We need to be pliable. We need to be converted. We need to be humble. We need to be submissive. We need to say, God, have mercy on me. We can't approach the throne of God with some kind of arrogancy. Well, I said some prayer at Billy Graham's crusade in 1907. Whatever. Come on, man. We don't have that kind of arrogance. He said, you ran the race well, but what's hindered you? Do you have enough evidence in your life to prove your Christianity? Well, I go to church. There's a lot of churchgoers on their way to hell. Come on now. The churches in America are full of people going to hell. They got worse judgment than the people out in the dope houses and the house of harlotry. Because they're learning and much given is much more required. Those ones out there ain't going to be required to what you are. When you deny the word, reject the word, defy the word, that puts you into rebellion, the sin of witchcraft, according to the Bible. And your judgment will be much more severe and much more harsh. Well, hell's hell, you say. The Bible said a greater damnation. Everybody thinks we're all going to have the same reward in heaven. You ain't been reading your Bibles. It's that simple. The Bible said, store up your treasures. Why? You know, you work your hind end off for many, many years to store up stuff until you're 65 and you retire and you die. Store them up in heaven, the Bible says. We have them through all of eternity. There's different degrees and measures in heaven. And you say, oh, I read the 11th hour worker, preacher, I could prove you wrong. No, you can't prove me wrong. The 11th hour worker showing we all have eternal life. That's a gift. We all receive the same eternal life. Every man in this earth has the gift of the breath of life. Not eternal life, the breath of life. But not every man's the president, are they? Not every man's the governor, are they? Not every man's a millionaire or a billionaire. We got some drunkards, some living on Skid Row. We got people that in all different facets. Again, the Bible said the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things that appear. There's going to be so many different measures of people in heaven. He said, show yourself faithful over little things. I'll make you rule over many things and even many cities, he says. Just paraphrasing the word a little bit, but it's in the Bible. If I say something you don't think, sir, challenge me. We'll look it up and get it to you. Amen. That's what we got these electronic Bibles for. Amen. It's there to be looked up. I got the word in my spirit, in my heart. You say, where's that in the address? I say, I'll get it for you. Amen. I probably quoted 30, 40 scriptures already tonight. And I could show them to you in the scriptures and in the word. Amen. That's what we're called to do, to preach the word. Called in defense of the word. Amen. But we've got new Bibles now. We've got all these things that are watering down and changing the word and removing the things that would be offensive to people. There's a move going on in the land of America right now, and they're sending their children into these colleges, and they're putting all the same mind in them. Don't offend nobody. You know, be easy. Don't say anything that ruffles no feathers. I had a couple college kids met the other day. And I just kind of test in the waters, you know, Brother Rob. Oh, my. It don't take much to shake the boat. I'm telling you, it don't take much at all. Well, you're pretty crude, Brother Rob. Well, I know that, but I was trying to be really nice. But you know what I mean? It don't take much to be offensive. I was talking to some men in prison the other day. You know, you could call me a cracker. It don't faze me at all. I like Cracker Barrel, man. It's for us white folks, I guess. I don't know, you know. They call me a cracker, don't bother me. I mean that. It doesn't faze me. But I'm talking to a little brother in there, and he says, oh man, come on, don't say that, Brother Rob. Cracker? Come on, why are people offended? Why are they so sensitive? Come on, I'm asking you, why are people so sensitive? The preacher says, I'm offended, I'm not going back there. Preacher's supposed to offend you. He's supposed to shake you. He's supposed to wake you up. Supposed to make you hurt a little bit. Come on. But you know, they got them all a bunch of polished little preachers, you know, and they know, they, you know, like politicians, they know how to lie without lying. I don't know how you can do that, but they do it. You know, they'll say every, you know, they'll get an interview over here and they'll act like they're answering the question, but they never answer it. And then somebody else asks an answer to require another answer, and they do it the same way, and you don't know where they're at. I'd rather a guy be a little bit crude and know where he's at. I used this as an example the other day. I don't agree with abortion. By no means. But you know what? If you come up to me and you say, hey, Rob, you know, I'm a Democrat. No. I'm just being lighthearted. But he said, you know, and I believe in abortion. You know, if the man tells me that, I can shake his hand and say, hey, at least I know where you're at. No, I'm not in agreement with you. But how about the man that he's talking to, the pro-life people say, oh yeah, I believe in life. You know, this, that, and he's over with the choice people. Oh yeah, I believe in woman got a choice. If she wants to take it, it's her body. See, I got no respect for that kind of man. I got respect for the man that says, hey, I believe it's a woman's choice to abort a child. I got respect for that man because he's got a backbone to say, this is what I am. But what kind of respect can you have for a man that he's over here with this party and he's over here with this party? You don't know what he's going to be or what he's going to do. I got zero respect for that because you don't know what they are. You see, a man should be clear. The Bible said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. That's what the Bible says. So even if you're in a disagreement with a man, at least he's enough of a man to say, this is what I believe, and this is where I am, and this is what I stand for. You may not agree with it, But the thing is at least you know where that gentleman's at. And then you might be able to get in the doctrine and the word with him and the scriptures and speak and talk by the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation. Amen. So it looks like we've made a foundation this evening around judgment. Judgment beginning in the house of God. When it's such a controversial subject today in the churches of America. When the Bible said we should see eye to eye, not pierce each other through. That we need to come to the same mind and the same judgment. But it's not there. Now there are many churches that have come together. But it's not into the mind of Christ. It's into the political mind of political correctness and of no offense. No offense. Can you preach the Bible without offense? I'm asking you the question. I know the answer. It would be impossible. This is what the Word of God says. This is what Jesus said. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. He said, I came to bring a sword, to put the mother against the daughter and the father against the son. You understand that? And you say, that's not the Jesus I know. I know that's why I'm preaching this way, for you could learn to know him and the way that he is. Let me tell you something. My father and I were in business together and made multiplied of thousands upon thousands of dollars, everything. And I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and got into doctrine, and my own father became my enemy. You see, I understand that word. My father was later converted and made some changes and we restored. But I'm telling you, we had never been apart from one another. We worked together, labored together, and because I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, he went a separate way. He departed from me. So that's the scriptures, yea and amen, and it's true. The only way that we could walk together is by coming into the mind of Jesus Christ. I'm looking for ministers and ministries to fellowship for we could unify together in the mind of Christ. And one could set 1,000, two could set 10,000. We could pull our labors together to win souls. And we need one another to show a unified mind of Christ, the unified mind of our Lord and Savior Jesus. But it's getting hard to find because as I just read, it's not for private interpretation. You see, they've reduced holiness to an invisible work of the heart. But that's not what the Bible teaches. It said holy in body, soul, and spirit. Now, I know what that means. Body, soul, and spirit. And the thing is, brethren, is that they want to make it just to something that's invisible. In other words, I live like I want. I look like I want. The Bible teaches the woman to dress in modest apparel. What do we do with that? Just throw it away? But your interpretation of what modest apparel is different than what the founders of this country. Oh, but this is 2016 when God's the same today and to every generation. I got to get this picture and I got to bring it over here and put it behind my sacred desk. I can pull it and say, here, look here. 1901, a woman was arrested in New York State on the beach for indecent exposure. And she was dressed better than the churchgoers of America today. I don't think you could have saw no cleavage. If I don't mean to talk offensive, if that's offensive to you. But I mean, if that offends you, quit looking at it. She had a high top neckline, sleeves down to here, a full one-piece bathing suit with even a little ruffled dress thing on it, and it went past her knees, and she got arrested for indecent exposure. My God, what would they think about these ones with the stinking Band-Aid up their hind end and their cheeks hanging out? Come on, man. I mean, you say that you shouldn't talk like that as a preacher. You know, they want the preachers to shut their mouth and not expose the stinking filth. But we need to teach our children that we're godly people and holy people. And we keep ourselves covered. And we're not going to be taken into the mind of this world. Amen? I was down here and another picture. I just made Mitch this from the sacred desk. I was right down here in Ashboro. And there's a picture on the wall about this long of a factory, a local factory from Randleman or Ashboro. Picture about this long and about this tall. And it shows the whole labor force. I would say that it was probably a picture taken somewhere around the 40s. I'm telling you there was probably 45 women working there. And they had the women on one line and the men on another. And every one of them was wearing a dress. It was a uniform. Well, where'd that requirement go? You say, oh, preacher, you're going to preach on the clothesline? Sure am. Because I'll tell you what, there ain't much clothes left on it. When I was a kid in school, the girls wore dresses in public school. boys couldn't wear shirts with writing on them. They couldn't wear tank tops. We couldn't wear short pants. You say, well, I don't agree with those laws. I agree with them more so than what I see today. Let's go back. Let's remove the Bible standards for a moment and just talk about common sense and morality. We could look at the birth rate of children in unwed homes today. We could look at the mothers raising children without fathers today. We could look at the divorce rate today. Now, I'm not talking biblically now. I'm just talking the standards of judging things. And look how messed up things are. Brother Charles that comes here and we allow to minister here in this church occasionally, white-headed man, 70-some years old. He's got something in his heart that was made him to be a man. That's why I love Brother Charles. We might have some doctrinal variations and things, but we love one another. But he's got something like the Bible teaches. If a man don't work, he don't eat. But that's not an American doctrine. If you don't work, you go get welfare. You don't work, go get food stamps. If you're a worthless, no good sluggard, I like the Bible way. Let the fat, obese pig starve for a while, and he'll go get him a job for him, get him another cookie, huh? You see, people don't like people to talk plain, but that's just plain old speech, and that's Bible. He said they don't work, they don't eat. Come on now. But you know, the preachers are so polished, they can't offend nobody. People need to be offended. They need to get woke up a little bit. Preachers need to teach them the Bible way. When you got a man in your church that can't hold a job, it's a preacher's problem. He's called in defense of the word and say, sir, you're a reproach to the Bible. The Bible said if a man can't support his home, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. And you're sitting in church, you can't support your family, you're worse than an unbeliever, and you're going to go to hell for that. And the preacher needs to get in your face and say, brother, get you a job. Start showing yourself to be a man. Get you a life. Start praying and expecting God to teach you. You see, that's some good Bible there. That's the way the Bible teaches the man of God should do. You understand that? My father was a heathen. He wasn't even a Christian man. He taught me to work. He had more sense than some of these Christian people. The Bible said the children of this world are wiser in their ways than some of the children of God. My dad had enough sense to make his boys learn to work and how to hold a job. And he would discipline us if we didn't want to get out of bed. I don't feel good. Get up and go anyway. He might let us go back home if we was puking on the floor on the way out the door. But he wasn't going to submit to a bunch of whining. He said, be a man. See, I like that. Amen. You say, well, I don't agree with it. What are you raising, sissies and queers? Come on. I got friends that got their, you know, I've had people contest some of the doctrine here and their grandchildren turn into queers. And homosexuals and their daughters into lesbians when they send them off to school. I like sound doctrine. Say, get out of that filth. Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. We're going to just sit back and just keep on watching the world get worse and worse and worse. Their way isn't working. We were talking politics. I'm not political. I ain't in the voting booths. I'm a preacher of the gospel and I preach the word of God. Jesus is my King and my Lord and my Savior. And that's what I preach. That's what I teach. And that's where my vote stays. Amen. Amen. People ain't going to like that, but let them go put their name on whatever ballot they want. That's their business. But the people aren't liking this Trump, and I'm not promoting him right now by no means. If you leave this service and think I'm promoting him, you're wrong. But the reason the people don't like him is because he's doing the same thing that I'm doing in the church. I'm kicking against their religious slop. And he's kicking against the political powers of America and saying, I'm sick of the stench in America with your politics and robbing the people. And you're taking the money and you're giving it to a bunch of lazy sluggards that need to get a job and go to work. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. I just hope it ain't too late. They got them marching in the streets and burning cars and stuff like that. You know, oh, they got the rights. When do we give people the rights to break the laws in our country? When do we give the people's rights to flip cars over and light them on fire and do those kind of things? We need to give the policemen back their rights. And when they're not submitting to the council of the law and they say, young man, freeze, and he don't do it, then they need to start putting some lead in their hinds in, huh? Come on and put a stop to that. Innocent people don't need to lose their property because you're not in agreement with their political choice. This ain't rhetoric and it ain't political. I know when you could think about this Reverend Wright over there that was Obama's press, he spoke a lot of anti-American stuff from his thing and against white people. I am not trying to do that. I'm not trying to speak in any favoritism towards any white or black or yellow or any race or any political power. I'm speaking common sense by the mind of Christ. You don't allow people, because they get upset about a vote, to go out and destroy properties. If a police officer was wrong for shooting that man, it don't give the people a right to burn the streets, kick the door fronts in, and beat innocent people in the streets. We need to allow the lawmen to do their job, what they're paid to do. Amen. And if you don't submit to their orders, then you better expect a billy club. You better expect a gun or a taser or whatever until you submit to the things of their laws. Amen? I know there's bad cops. There's bad preachers. There's bad politicians. Brethren, but we still got to keep some common sense. And it's gone. I told you I seen a picture of a gravestone and it said common sense and gave the death day in America. And that's about the truth. You might not agree with my political aspects or my biblical aspects or whatever, but at least you know where I'm at and where I stand. I'm not flimsy and I'm not a sissy, and I don't bow down to people and just tell them what they want to hear. The Bible said they got preachers, they're tickling, itching ears. And I'm not going to tickle your ears. I'm going to speak God's word. And what are you speaking about then, preacher? I'm speaking about the word of God. Everything that I've said tonight, it goes in coalition with this word, in coordination with it. Amen. Jesus believed a man should be a man. Amen. And he needed to take care of his home and take care of his household. Amen. And we don't need to forget that. We got some of these worthless, lazy bunks of punk boys. They want their wives to work, and they got their wives out in the work field while they sit around and play video games. I hope the wife goes and takes karate. Let's come put some stinking knots on his head, too. I tell you what, if she's going to wear the pants in the family, she needs to start doing some hind end whooping. Come on. I like that. Amen. You say, preacher, you can't say that. I'll say it again. If you're going to expect the wife to support the family, she needs to come home and whoop that little punk. Huh? Now, I commend a woman that's taking care of her husband if he's sick. If something happened to that man and he's sick and he can't work, if he's crippled or had a stroke or something, man, I'll commend that lady all thing. I was over preaching in the Philippines, had 30 preachers on the platform. You know what the preacher did? He put his back to the people out there, and I'm preaching at these 30 men here, rebuking them, because they're all saying, well, I'm full time. And every one of them had their wives working for they could stand, I'm full time. Let me tell you something. You might have a job working a cash register and you're a preacher. You might have a job laying tile and you're a preacher. But let me tell you something. If you're called to preach, you better be full-time for God. When you're on the job, you're doing it as unto the Lord. You're doing it for the decency of the gospel's sake, saying, I don't want to be numbered with the infidels. I'm supporting and providing for my family. Amen. I've got my wife expecting children, and she's going to stay home and she's going to raise my children. Amen. And I'm going to work and provide for she could do what mamas do. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Amen. The problem with the children of America, the daycares are raising them and the schools are raising them when they need some mamas teaching them morals and decency and godliness and holiness and virtue. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. My name is Pastor Rob Kuntz and I approve this ad. Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's be real with the word. Let's be real with the scriptures. God didn't make sissy preachers. They want all this religious people want to make Jesus into some kind of feminine little sissy. They make their Hollywood movies and the History Channel movies. They have him having sex with Mary Magdalene. They got all this foolishness going on. Let me tell you, he was a godly man, a pure, clean, holy man. And there was no sexual relationships with him. He never had a relationship with a woman. He never did. He wasn't here to bring forth the blood seed. He come here to bring forth the seed of the Spirit. Amen. That we could have life abundant and eternal. Amen. Somebody say praise God. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Let's worship the Lord a minute. Sing a song or two. Amen. We got a group of men going in the morning to heading up to... what is it called? West Virginia. What time are we going, Edward?
We'll leave here at 4:30.
Amen. Let's worship the Lord a minute, brethren. Fall in love with Jesus. Let him be your Lord and God. Let him be your King. Amen. Enter into his will, his mind, his thoughts, his way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man will come to the Father except by him. Bible said there's no other name given among men that thou shalt be saved. It's Jesus and it's him alone. Amen. He is our Lord, our God. He is our Father. When Philip came and asked Jesus, he said, when will we see the Father? And Jesus looked at him and he said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? He said, I and the Father are one. Father's in me and I'm within the Father. Amen. The Bible said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three are one. Amen. We need to understand that. Holy. The Catholics teach you that there's a three-person Godhead. Bible says that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Father's invisible, no man has seen, and he came and robed himself in the flesh of humanity. Amen. And it was the same Spirit that dwells in you and I, the Spirit of the Father. You say it's the Spirit of Jesus. I say yea and amen. Because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And he said, the same Spirit that dwelt within Jesus shall dwell in your mortal body. What Spirit is that? It's the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Say again. We're going to pray for him. Fair and holy for you. This beautiful little baby girl up here has got more sense than the college professors. How old are you, young lady? Huh? 8. She's 8 years old. She's got enough wisdom to come into a pastor, into an altars of a church, and ask the pastor to pray for her aunt that is sold out to a lesbian lifestyle. The professors say God made you that way. That's what they're teaching them in college, Brother Larry. But this little beautiful girl right here, a little young lady's concerned for her aunt's soul. And she says, I'm concerned for my aunt. I don't want her to go to hell. You say, are you teaching that in this church? I'm teaching what the Bible says. And the Bible said all liars, all drunkards, all adulterers, and fornicators, and these perverts. You understand that? It said they all will have their part in the lake of fire. We need to teach our children the Word of God. Amen. This is not a hate crime, brethren. This is called decency. It's called common sense. It's called teaching these children the ways of the Bible. We're not to ever depart from it. The Bible said that Jesus is the same to every generation. He's not given to change. He's not accepting this doctrine of America. He burned Sodom and Gomorrah for the perversion. Because of the homosexual lifestyle and the things going on in Sodom, he brought fire and brimstone and destroyed the whole city and everybody in it. So what more is he going to do to America? You've heard preachers say that he'll have to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah if he don't do something. But down in New Orleans, they said, we don't care about your laws. If you don't come here to the Mardi Gras, if you don't want to see sex acts and homosexual sexual acts in the streets. They defied mankind and the laws of the land. And they said, we'll be having open sexual acts on the streets. And God said, enough of that. And he brought Katrina in there. You say, you can't say God done that. Yeah. I can tell you evil can't come to the city. Lest I send it, saith the Lord. That's the Bible. And God brought that thing in there to cleanse that cesspool of iniquity. And you say there was innocent people there. There was innocent people in Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed the whole thing. He said there won't be one stone standing on top of another. He's fixing to destroy. He flooded this earth. Come on, brethren. He flooded this entire earth. And there was 8 that got out in a boat. In Sodom and Gomorrah, 4 came out. And all the rest of the thousands were destroyed by fire and brimstone. In the wilderness, 30,000 of his own elect children, the ground opened up and swallowed them up. Why? For their murmuring and complaining. And he said, I'm the same to every generation. We made this God some sissy, and he's just going to let us in because he loves us so much. When his word says he can't stand your image. He said he repented that he even made man. You need to fall on your face and repent before the living God. And you need to cry out to him and say, God, have mercy on my soul. I want to get born again and filled with your spirit. I want the power to come out of the world. Amen. Let's give him a hand, saints of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray with this child. I'm trusting God's going to save your aunt. Amen. Her aunt's a beautiful little girl. Little young lady. A beautiful little gal. But she's in perversion. And that's something terrible. I thank God for a little sister that has enough love for the word and the truth of God that she's going to petition the throne of God for an aunt. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. Children, when your daddies are drunks and alcoholics, perverts, if they're whoremongers, it don't matter what they are. That's what you need to do. You need to be in the altars. You need to be praying. If it's your uncle, your aunt, your mother, your father. Amen. You need to be petitioning the throne of God. Saying, God, save their soul. Lord God, convict them of their sin. Lord God, shake them. Wake them up, Lord God. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh, cease from sin. I've seen many people get smitten with cancer, and then they repent, and they find God in their suffering. The Bible said, ye that suffer in the flesh, ceases from sin. Amen? So don't be afraid to pray. The Bible said, turn them over to the destruction of their soul to Satan. Amen? Come on, saints of God. We need to learn to pray. We need to pray and expect results. I don't want to see my family go to hell. You understand that? We need to get real with God and petition the throne. Most gracious Father, I thank you for this precious little saint. Father, I know that the children move your heart, Lord God. And Father, as this young lady is standing in the altars of God, being obedient to your word, Lord God. You said, suffer not the little children to come. Father, as you showed us the example, Lord God, by our Savior, Jesus Christ, reaching out and taking the little children. And Father, as this little baby girl is crying out for her aunt, Lord God. Father, we ask you, Lord, to visit that woman, Lord God. Visit her in her iniquity, Lord God. Lord God, wake her up, Almighty God. Let that stench of her perversion, Lord God, come into her nostrils and choke her, Almighty God. Let she repent of her sins and call upon you, Lord Jesus, in salvation. Father, save her soul, whatever means it takes, God. Save her soul from the clutches of the devil, in Jesus' name. Amen. You keep believing. Amen. Keep on praying and keep on believing until you see your aunt on her knees. Amen. And I'm going to be praying with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Me.
sanctuary.
Is that your desire, to be a sanctuary for the Lord? A place that God could come, live, and dwell? Amen. That's the desire of my heart.
Tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And I will praise Him.
I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory. For His blood has washed away.
I'll get Brother Josh to dismiss us tonight. Thank you for coming to the house of God. Press into the kingdom. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Learn what the Bible says and learn to cast down your thoughts and your vain imaginations. Amen. Learn what the Bible says and think on the things from above. The things that will be pure and virtuous and righteous and holy and godly. Don't let yourself be persuaded by the popular mind or by the carnal mind. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and the carnal mind is death. Amen. Don't put trust in your mind. Put trust in Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Josh. Amen. Let's give the Lord one more hand, saints. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.